Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
And happy summer. This sermon is about the sound of silence. Every Sunday, we hear three readings, usually one from the Old Testament, one from the Epistles, and one from the Gospel. This plus a psalm. Every 3 years, the same scriptures will be read on the corresponding Sunday. For example, today is named the second Sunday after Pentecost, and our readings for today are the readings for the second Sunday after Pentecost. These prescribed readings are only a small fraction of all the scriptures, but for some of us, these are the main scriptures we come into contact with. On a Sunday like this one, we are a little surprised to be assigned a reading from the middle of the first book of the Kings, and without preamble are informed that Elijah has just killed all the Hebrew prophets with the sword. This caught me by surprise, since mostly I just read the lectionary. So I found my first book of the Kings and tried to get a little background to the story. The first book of Kings tells the story of the kings of Israelites from the days of King David to the time of Elijah and Elisha. After the death of King Solomon, the Hebrew people divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom, Israel, consisting of 10 tribes, and a southern kingdom, Judah, comprised of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. At the time described in today's scripture, Ahab was king over Israel in Samaria. Ahab took for a wife Jezebel and went and served Baal, worshipped him, and erected an altar for Baal. Elijah was a Gileadite from Tishbeth. Elijah confronted Ahab and predicted a terrible drought as his first act in his war to save the soul of Israel from Jezebel's diabolic influence. He hid away from Ahab in Phoenicia, where he saved a widow's son from starvation. After 3 years of famine, Elijah confronted Ahab, confounded the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and had them executed by the brook Kishon. Threatened with death by Jezebel, Elijah fled for his life to Sinai, where he experienced a mysterious vision of God's spirituality. Elijah came to a cave on Mount Horeb and stayed there. The word of the Lord came and asked him, "What are you doing there, Elijah?" Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The voice of the Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." Then the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice, the sound of silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. What is the sound of silence? Or as followers of Zen say, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You'll remember that Simon and Garfunkel wrote a song about the sound of silence. "Hello, darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence." And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls and whispered in the sound of silence." Many others have described the sound of silence. The following words are from the meditation teacher Teja Anand. "Most people would immediately assume that in silence there's no sound at all. And yet, if you sit still for a long time, until all your thoughts, worries, plans, desires, and judgments subside, until all outer sounds in the city or in nature fade away, until all inner sounds like the thumping of your heartbeat or the voice in your head disappear, until even the sound of you trying to go deeper into silence is let go of, you may fall into the silence so empty and dark, so completely devoid of anything, and then instantly be amazed at the realization that it's the most full and light and sound-filled void that could ever exist. I have taken this journey and can attest to this. The true silence is the richest sound you'll ever hear. The true emptiness is the fullest void you'll ever experience. It is the sound and fullness of you." Here in this church, we customarily have a period of silence before we start our morning worship. Sometimes there is a period of silence after the end of the sermon. During the next period of silence, try to imagine the scene at Mount Horeb. A great wind comes up, but the Lord is not in the wind. Then an earthquake, but the Lord is not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. Then last, a still small voice, the sound of silence. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul insists that a person becomes right with God only by faith in Christ and not by the performance of good works or ritual observances. In today's scripture, Paul says that Christ has set us free from the boundaries of the law. But, Paul says, though you were called to freedom, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. Furthermore, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. And in our gospel reading, Jesus puts following him above all other priorities, above custom or family or home. How does this commandment to live by the Spirit pertain to our life here today? Listening to that still small voice means that we must lovingly obey our conscience, following the guidance of Jesus Christ. Our conscience is our consciousness of God. I personally have become quite obsessed by the news of the day. Will we invade Iran? Will the Trans Mountain Pipeline be built? And most of all, what about climate change? What about the refugees? How can 10 billion people be fed and taken care of in the world of the near future? We'll never find the right way to live by killing the prophets. Going back to what St. Paul said, beware of enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and things like that. Live by the Spirit and obtain love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness. As Jesus tells us, do it now. Don't look back. Let us pray. Lord, we know we are weak, stubborn, imperfect people. Stay with us in our weakness. We pray that we may once again hear that still small voice and take heed. In Jesus' name, amen.